Hey guys, we need to get this many calls this month.
Oh, so you put a number
Just
on it.
like, and then our people can kind of have this gauge of, oh
Hit
man,
it on
you know,
target.
Pierce said we need to get to, you know, 30 this month, and we're only at 20. Instead of like, oh man, we got another one. It's like, yeah, let's go. We're almost there, you know.
You almost got them going down back alleys with a knife trying to get some balls. You got me juiced up. Before we dive on in, toe tag first, of course, I've got to tell you something that I'm really pumped for. I just got asked to be the presenting podcaster for the SCCFA. That's the Southern Cemetery Cremation and Funeral Association's conference down in Hilton Head this summer. It's going to be a fantastic experience. Tons of great speakers, people to network with in funeral service from throughout the country. And this year's theme is focusing on family. So it's a family-friendly event, even though you'll probably find me and a lot of other funeral directors sitting poolside with some pina coladas. Anyway, they just released the early bird registration for the conference, and that goes up through March 31st. So take advantage of getting a couple bucks off the conference and enjoy an unbelievable experience and get to meet a lot of people in funeral service and learn a ton. We'll see you down in Hilton Head.
So do you bounce around then from Ohio and Georgia all the time, or how does that work?
Yeah, my dad was going up there like once every 2 weeks for a while.
Damn.
We ended up getting an apartment up there because it was cheaper than the hotels.
Hotel time, it's crazy.
Yeah, so then I started going up there once every 4 weeks or so.
Yeah.
And now we've got a manager up there that is really about a year ago we started going, we got to get someone up there that's almost like a franchise owner, more than a manager. Like, we need someone to like really own this place. And so we went out of the funeral profession and hired a guy that has really taken it over. And like, his whole goal is that we don't need to come, that it's everything's taken care of so that we don't have to come. So we have been able to start going up there less, which has been nice, because we can think about, you know, the next growth step and help out our office here a little bit more, because all of our resources were going up to Ohio. So
yeah,
our Georgia team needs some loving too. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Pierce, I wanted you to tell us about your business then that you have. I know you're a fourth generation, just like me, more of a cemeterian background, but tell us a little bit about what your family's business is in the funeral industry and how it came to be.
Yeah. So we own three cemeteries here in North Georgia, North Metro Atlanta. And we also have a cremation operation here in Georgia. We serve basically all of North Georgia, and then one in Columbus, Ohio, oddly enough. So
yeah,
that's kind of
all over the place. Georgia to Ohio, a little bit different. Yep. There, that's for sure.
Yep. We did not know a soul in Ohio, the whole state. Well, maybe the state, but not anyone in Columbus.
You probably knew LeBron when he was living.
Yeah. Other than that, we got nobody. So
How did you
went up there
then? What was your choice? So you had a cremation society in Georgia. And then you moved to Ohio. What was the thought process since you didn't know anyone?
Yeah, when we opened in Georgia, we thought we were going to put like 3, 4, 5 locations all over the state.
Yeah.
And just quickly realized, you know, we service all over just out of the one location. You know, we don't need to expand in Georgia. So we started looking, you know, what are other metro areas that have similar population.
Yeah.
Cremation rates, things like that. And just kind of kept going back to Columbus, you know, looking at competitors and who else is there and those kinds of things. And it just seemed like a sweet spot. You know, we can, here in Atlanta, you can get a flight, direct flight anywhere.
Yeah.
So we could fly right into Columbus and get there quickly. And So yeah, just kind of, it was a demographics decision. Like I said, we didn't know anybody. So, the first time my dad had ever been to Columbus, Ohio, was to look for property to build a cremation location.
Too funny.
So that's how we ended up there. Really odd. Yeah.
Yeah. That's called doing your research and, figuring out what's best and what's fitting for your family and for the business. So where did this all come from? Where did it come to be? So I know you're a long line, I'm sure like close to 100 years or something like that, of people in funeral service. Who did everything start with, and what was your family history leading up to present day today?
Yeah. So, my great grandfather was an auctioneer, in Rome, Georgia. And he was also a dairy farmer. We think what happened is one of his buddies, from like Chattanooga, Tennessee, said, "Hey, I got this cemetery, and I think you could just make some money off of it," and basically gave it to him. And he knew absolutely nothing. And he ran it sort of like that, good old country boy dairy farmer, and he just served the community the best way he knew. Yeah. So then my grandfather obviously stayed in the business and just sort of grew it bit by bit. And then my dad is definitely more sales minded, more marketing minded. Sure. And so he's the one that really grew the sales organization, and really through state and regional associations, he started seeing these people out in the industry that were very successful. Yeah. And men like Gary O'Sullivan, who was actually a member of the Southern, he went and like almost like trained and studied under these guys. Wow. And went to these organization meetings and went to these sales meetings. Yeah. And just started learning from all these guys who were just very successful in our industry. Mm-hmm. And was able just to grow from there. So
yeah,
after we had the cemeteries and in Rome, Georgia, and then ended up acquiring different ones over the years. And then again, through organization meetings, everyone's talking about cremation and what are we going to do with cremation? And out of that, he kind of got this vision for serving the direct cremation families.
Yeah.
That are maybe more DIY consumers. Mm-hmm. That maybe want to have a service at the country club rather than the funeral home.
Yeah.
And my dad just kind of had the vision that maybe there's nothing wrong with that. There needs to be someone to serve them. Right. And so that's kind of how the idea of our cremation centers came about.
Yeah.
We owe a lot to, our family and sort of the people in our industry that gave so much time and effort to share their ideas at association meetings.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's such a big part of what we do is the business side of things. And a lot of times it does get overlooked. And it's something that I have a big, big time passion for as well. And I think there are a lot of us that are in the industry that have that sense in them as well. And it's good that we're able to talk amongst each other and learn from each other like your dad did and like you have from the association, things like that. It's super, super important because not only we're trying to do our best job serving every family, of course, but we're also trying to run a business. We're trying to be successful for our own families, to provide for our community as well. So there's nothing wrong with, I always say, focusing on the sales portion, the business side of things, because that will help us to better serve our families. So it all works hand in hand. And I think people might have that bit of a gross taste in their mouth because it is funeral service, and it is sure. very different because you're dealing with someone's life ending. So it's so much different than if you're, a tech company and you're doing sales for a tech company. It's like, you don't even think, I'm going to be a salesperson. But the best way that we can do that is to be genuine and to come at it from an angle of, like you just said, Pierce, coming at the angle of these families need to be served. How can I best serve them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And nowadays we have, not to pat you on the back, but we have all these awesome podcasts and, you know, blogs and things where people are just sharing ideas on how to best serve families. And yeah, we have benefited greatly from people like you and podcasts and organizations and blogs and everything.
Yeah.
There's so many people out there that are so obsessed with serving families well.
Absolutely. And I appreciate that. And it's something that has grown immensely since I became a funeral director 10 years ago. It's a big change since then. It was very, it's still such a close industry, but now it's more open as far as who is willing to share with each other. And I think your dad was early in that realm when he would talk to people at other funeral homes and when you go to these association events, which I would love to talk about in a minute. But opening up your mind to saying like, what we're doing isn't the only way that things can be done. You have to be able to adapt and adjust and to improve. And the best way to do that is to learn from other people. When you learn from others' mistakes, you don't have to go through them yourself. So the best way to do that is to piggyback off of other people's successes. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's how we can all become better as an industry in general too, I'd say.
Yeah, no, definitely. We always joke that we you know, listen to these podcasts and everything, and we get all these ideas so that we can do our own R&D, rip off and duplicate. And like, you know, we're all in different markets and we're all serving different families. It's like, you know, let's just share ideas and, raise the tide.
Yeah, that's such a beautiful, great point. And because our industry is so different, it's still the vast majority are all smaller, a lot of times family or close individuals with each other, teaming up, whatever it might be, that we can learn from other people throughout the country, even the world too, about different things that we can replicate in our own business. And you're not feeling the need to step on someone else's toes because you're not a direct competitor. Like you and I are not direct competitors. We're in the same industry. We're going after some of the same people, but they're in completely different areas. And even if you were, like, let's say I was in Georgia or Ohio, or you were in Chicago, we serve different families and we have different needs. And I think it's the best way to come out on top is to learn from other people and to understand that, hey, we can all do this together to better ourselves too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We, in our cremation business, we refer people all the time to the funeral homes down the street.
Yeah.
And they refer people to us. We have a great relationship with the other funeral homes because we serve totally different families. Yeah. We do cremation really well. There's another firm that does low cost funeral. There's another firm that's a traditional funeral home.
We're
serving totally different families, and we pass people around and refer people because it's about the family. Right. It's where would they be served best? So yeah, it's good.
Yeah, that's super nice that you do that. And then you have that, open line of communication, the relationship with people in your community is such a good thing and something that was not a thing. I know when I was a kid in this industry, anyone that was within 15 miles, 25 miles was a competitor, to a funeral home. And it's just not the case anymore, which is a good thing. I would love for you to talk about, you mentioned a little bit about the Southern Conference, and that's a lot about what we want to talk about on this podcast too, for a couple different reasons, but I know that's something that's near and dear to your family's heart, and somewhere something that you've learned from and your whole family has learned from. Tell us about what the Southern Conference is, and the association that you're a part of, and maybe some funeral directors throughout the country, or maybe in the South specifically, would be super interested in getting involved with an outstanding organization that'll help you one up your abilities in the funeral industry.
Yeah, the Southern is it's the Southern Cemetery Cremation Funeral Association, the SCCFA.
Long name.
long name. So we just call it the Southern.
You got to get everyone. You know, you can't miss out anyone. You got to get the cemetery.
Right.
You got to get the cremation. Everyone's involved.
It's everybody. Everybody. So, it spans from like Texas up to, you know, from Florida to like Delaware. It's a huge,
wow.
It's an enormous amount of states that can be a part of the Southern. So yeah, we're really about education, about promoting our entire industry, which is why we include cemetery, cremation, funeral. And our we have a convention every year. So each year we'll partner, the Southern will partner with one or a few states for the actual convention. So this year it's Georgia, Kentucky, North and South Carolina, and Tennessee. Yeah. So all five of those states, their cemetery associations are partnering with the Southern to have a big convention. So every year it kind of moves around to different states. That's cool. And then different states will partner, you know, the adjacent states will partner with the Southern. So it's a lot of fun. They recently kind of coined the phrase that it's the Goldilocks of conventions. It's not too small. It's not too big. It's just right. Yeah. It's a wide range of states. So it is a bigger convention. You get a lot of the bigger vendors that will come and exhibit and share ideas. And it's not a, you know, national or international convention where it's massive and you're missing people. Mm-hmm. It's a close knit group of people. We know you see a lot of friendly faces and people that, you know, you've known for years and years. And, you know, people come up to me and tell me about my grandfather and how is he doing? And they know him from 30 years ago. It's a fun time. It's very educational. We learn a ton. We get incredible speakers. Robbie Poppy, the ICCFA's president, is speaking on leadership. So you get a lot of those, you know, big giants in our industry that will come. But it is intimate. It's a good fun time.
That's the perfect balance. I mean, I've been to the national convention. I've been to super small conventions. And they both have their advantages and disadvantages, mm-hmm. but I feel like the Southern is that perfect mix where you're getting still to interact with almost everyone there as much as you can, but still have a big exposure to a lot of people, which can open up to new ideas and new thoughts. And then mm-hmm. the fact that you have great speakers there, get some great education, that's just the best. And if you haven't ever like experienced, this is talking to our listeners, if you haven't ever experienced, like I used to, being fully transparent here, I used to only go to our Illinois conference. That's mm-hmm. where I would get my X amount of CEs. I would have to go to a couple more every other year, and then I would do the rest online, and that was it. And mm-hmm. I was totally content with that. And then I started getting a little bit more deep into the industry and wanted to be more and more involved in what the beauty of this all is. And I was like, man, I really can educate myself more by getting some different exposure rather than doing the same thing every single year. So I encourage any funeral directors, any people in cemetery work or cremation work to I'm not saying you have to go to the Southern, but obviously mm-hmm. you should. Like, it sounds like it's awesome. I'll actually be there this year with my brother too. Mm-hmm. But go to try out some new conferences. First of all, for me, like from a funeral director's point of view, most of the time your boss, if you're not the boss, they're going to let you go because like, oh, you're getting more education. You got to get your CE. Great. You get some time off work. You get to go out of town. Like, well, what's better than that? You get to take a mini vacation and you get to hang out with other funeral directors and enjoy the time together because, I mean, not only funeral directors, but anyone in funeral service, we all have that special connection because we do such a specific line of work that you can't really talk about unless you're amongst other funeral people. So that's another plus. And then you're bettering yourself. You're helping your own education, which is great for your own future. Mm-hmm. What else? You're helping out your own community by getting better, your own funeral home, your future business, anything like that. So I suggest if you've never done it, like go out to another conference. But the Southern sounds like it's a pretty wonderful thing. I'd love to know some more about it. Like, what was your family's involvement? You said your dad got involved and learned from a lot of people. And I believe you're on the board for the association as well. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. So, So my family's involvement, my dad's, we've been going forever and ever. My dad is a past president.
Nice.
He's going to be getting a Lifetime Achievement Award. If you have an X amount, you know, a certain amount of years in service of the industry. And with that award, I mean, again, you have big names down here in the South, you know, Gary O'Sullivan, Jack Frost. These guys are legends, nationally. Those names will be recognized, and their previous Lifetime Achievement Award honorees. So that's a big honor. So yeah, we're excited about that.
So it's just like the amount of years in service, or what is it that your dad's getting?
Yeah, I think the main thing is I believe it's 25 or 30 years of service to the industry.
Wow.
And then you obviously have to have some involvement with the Southern.
Yep.
Most of the people on there are past presidents or at least have been on the board, things like that. So it's a mix of duty to the industry and to the association. So that's pretty fun. And you have, you know, last year, Alan Blevins and Rita Augustin were the honorees. And Alan's daughter, Lauren, got to, you know, do the speech honoring him. So it's really cool. You have a lot of, you know, just because of our industry, you have a lot of father daughter, you know,
yeah,
father son,
always, yep,
stuff going on. So everything we do is a family affair in our industry.
Yeah.
The convention this year is every year there's like sort of a theme. A lot of times, sure, it's based on where we're going. So this year it's focused on the family.
Okay.
It's about our families that we serve and also our families. So we're going to the beach. We're going to Hilton Head, staying at the Westin.
Woo.
It's like, it's sweet. It's resort style. They got cabanas and pool. It's on the beach and it's going to be fun. So highly recommend that to anyone. So it is definitely a vacation. It's educational, but it is a vacation.
Exactly. Yeah.
Plenty of time to hang out on the beach.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that. I've actually never been down to Hilton Head, but I've had some buddies go down there to golf and stuff. And they said, it's just beautiful. Have you been over there before?
Yeah. So we actually had our convention there a few years ago at this same location. Loved it so much. We're going back.
That's cool.
If you come a day early, there is a golf tournament.
I did hear that. Yeah. It's actually negative 20 degrees here today. I was thinking about getting the clubs out, but I think I'll probably break my wrist if I try to get one out of the rough here today. So.
Yeah. Mine are right there. You can see them behind
me. Yeah.
They're not getting touched. It's cold down here in Georgia. So yeah,
that's cool. But I love that they have like a theme. I haven't really seen that in too many other places, and it makes it for more engaging and changes things up a little bit from just the same old thing. I'm assuming that's what the thought process is behind it.
Yeah. Yeah. So like a lot of the speakers will be, have that sort of mindset of focusing on the family. So again, a mix of family service, sales oriented around the family service counselor training. And then also again, about how can we take care of ourselves? How can we take care of our families when we go home? Yeah. So the themes have been really fun. They've been, last year was our 90th year.
Nice.
As an association. 90th anniversary is apparently the granite anniversary, which is very appropriate for our cemeterians.
Yeah,
so we had a lot of granite themed stuff.
Smart.
So
that's cool. Yeah,
so that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that sounds super cool. I'm actually going to be the podcast sponsor or whatever you want to call it. If you've been to any of the larger conventions, a lot of times mm-hmm. they'll have a podcast host that bounce arounds or has a booth. And I'm so fortunate to be the one that's going to be doing it this year. So if anyone does come down to the Southern, you got to find me, or I will probably come find you and put a microphone to your face and ask you why on earth you got involved in funeral service in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll be fun. Yeah. I will say we probably never had a podcast sponsor or a podcaster at our convention.
All right.
So that's exciting.
I'm the first. That's great. That's cool. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I'd love to know some more, I guess, like backtracking a little bit mm-hmm. to your family. I think people would be very interested in, you know, how you specifically got into the cremation mm-hmm. side of things, and what did that look like from a business perspective? Because I know you're more focused on the business side and the marketing mm-hmm. side of things. What were some of the tactics that you used to build that a lot of funeral homes would find advantageous?
Yeah. So we are mainly a cremation business, so we're not your traditional funeral home. But mainly, we focus on serving a specific type of family or specific consumer, you could say, rather than just, you know, doing all things for all people and you know, rather than being mediocre at everything, let's be great at one thing. Yeah. So that was kind of our take. You know, down here in the South, we like Chick-fil-A. Focus on the chicken sandwich. They do it better than anybody.
Right. That's a good analogy there.
So we think about cremation and, you know, how can we be the best at it? What do the cremation families want? Convenience, affordability. A lot of them are price conscious. So that's kind of the business side of it, and looking at how can you build a business around, a specific consumer. Mm-hmm. And what they want. So I think, you know, the cremation rate, it's over 50% now. And actually, I think I saw maybe from the NFDA that 41% of cremations are direct cremations.
Wow.
So you think about that number, that's a huge number.
Staggering, yeah.
So there's a lot of families out there that maybe don't need the full extent of services that a traditional funeral home can provide. Yeah. They are looking for convenience and simplicity and online arrangements and things like that. So we just looked at, you know, what can we do to serve those families? And so we do things like we offer, you can do everything completely online. We do try to have a phone call in there. We think that most families do want to actually talk to a real human being.
Yeah, some personal.
So that's really important to us, having that personal touch. You know, we have one arranger or funeral director that walks the family through the entire process. We think that's important. You know, they can own that family and they can create that bond with that family that you would expect at any funeral home. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So things like that. So not just trying to make it like, you know, just fast food, like let's just get people in, get people out. We are dealing with grieving families.
Of course.
And so it's a balance of efficiency and that personal, you know, funeral experience that people need to feel cared for. So you do have to find that balance. And we think that you can. A lot of people will say, you know, you can't do it.
Right.
You know, if you're low cost, you can't have good service. Empathy and care don't cost anything.
Ooh, I like that line.
And yeah. So that's how we train our people. We don't train our people to say, hey, we have, you know, we're an affordable cremation brand, so don't treat people well. You know, it's like, no. We expect you to treat people better, you know, even though they may be saving $1,500.
Right.
We think let's treat them better, a better experience than they would have spending $5,000 somewhere, you know.
Yeah.
That's kind of our mindset. And our people have really latched onto that. They've really bought into the fact that, you know, people come to us a lot of times based on cost, but a lot of times just based on simplicity and transparency and convenience.
Yeah.
And so we try to serve people in that way. So that's kind of how we got to where we are. And we're always tweaking that. If we looked back 10 years, we kind of like laugh. Like, I can't believe we did things that way.
Right.
But we've adapted and we've changed. We've gotten better with technology and with just training on, you know, phone skills and
right.
using proper, you know, words, and those small things that all funeral homes work on, trying to serve families better. It's just a lot of that for us is over the phone and on the removal, on the transport. That's just a key that's important for every you know, every funeral home.
Yeah, that touch.
But especially for us, where it's a first impression. And for us, we, you know, most of our families aren't coming back into the funeral home to meet with us face to face. So that may be the only face-to-face interaction.
Yeah.
So things like that maybe matter more, even more for us than they would a traditional funeral home.
Yeah.
But again, I think even traditional funeral homes need to think about that and go, you know, that first impression really, really matters. Let's put our best people there, you know?
Yeah.
And let's make that experience really good.
You usually don't quite get that, to be honest with you, because mm-hmm. It's likely the most grueling of positions mm-hmm. as a funeral director is being on the transfer team, the removal team. Mm-hmm. But if you can find some people that have some passion and have the desire to help, and you frame it in the way that you're saying, Pierce, you're giving the funeral home the first impression, and it might be the only one. You have mm-hmm. to blow them away and give them the service that they deserve. Doesn't matter if it's 3 a.m. or 3 p.m, they deserve mm-hmm. the same quality service across the board, which is something really cool that I think you hit on a couple times there.
Yeah. And it does boil down to the people you have. Yeah. None of it works if you don't have just amazing, amazing people. I mean, even just the way that you frame that position or that job of doing the removal, doing the transfer, you know, we don't tell our people, hey, this is the lowest level position in our company, you know, just go out there and get the job done. No, we tell people like, this is in the most, a lot of cases, the most important part of this process.
Yeah.
What you're doing is one of the most important things for the family. It's the last time they're going to see their loved one before they're in a different form as cremated remains. So that's how we train our people. We don't just train them on, this is how you pull the gurney out of the van.
Yeah.
This is how you back into the, you know, the garage. Right. Like, no, we first train on, this is how important this is for our families.
Yeah.
And this is how important your position is. But yeah, every aspect of it boils down to just getting the right people, and then trusting them to just do an incredible job.
Yeah. And how are you finding the people that, are joining your team? From my point of view, it's a little bit challenging to find mm-hmm. quality, quantity of people. I'm not saying quality, mm-hmm. but it's really more in the numbers. It's hard to find, and the ones that are the best of the best are usually already scooped up, and they don't want to mm-hmm. leave. They're happy where they're at. How are you finding their people? Is my first part of the question. The second part, how are you going through the training? Because the way you're talking. Mm-hmm. is very different than what you would find at small funeral homes. What you're saying, how mm-hmm. you put in the gurney and how you back into the garage and here's where the lights are, that's typically the training you're going to find in a lot of small funeral homes. But the way you're approaching it is very different. So I'd love to know how you go about that, who created your system mm-hmm. and how that works, and maybe some things that we could implement. I'm sorry, I asked you like 50 questions there.
Yeah, okay.
Unpack it for me.
And all of this is a work in progress.
Yeah.
Like I'm even sure. Now, how we find people. Oh man. So, I mean, a lot of it is like restricted based on your licensing, right? We have a little bit more flexibility in Georgia than we do Ohio, but it's still, it's hard to find licensed people. The best is always a referral from a current employee. Those are just, again, hard to come by because, you know, we're always putting out the word to our team. Like, if you know of anyone looking for a change, you know, put the word out to them. So that's obviously the best. One of the big things recently is having a manager that can oversee the people and actually lead the people that is not a licensed funeral director, that is a leader. I don't even want to use the word manager, because that's irrelevant. You just need a leader that can take care of the business side of things, but that can mainly focus on the customer experience, the family experience, and your team members' experience. Mm-hmm. So they're making sure everyone's taken care of in the office, and they're making sure that every family's taken care of. They don't have to be a licensed funeral director to do that.
Where are these people coming from typically? Are they all over the place? And what are you looking for in those type of people? Mm-hmm. Because I think that is such a nice thing. And unfortunately for a lot of smaller funeral homes, we don't have the luxury of having the ability to have that. So you kind of have your veteran funeral director that's also the manager, and maybe you find a needle in a haystack that they are able to lead, or they do have the experience of helping others. But I think actually having that leader has to make a huge difference in the day-to-day for your staff.
Yeah. So we use Indeed, Indeed.com.
Yeah.
And different areas, I know different things are popular. Yeah. So that's honestly where we've gotten quite a few great people. We're really looking for, if someone's never been in our industry before, and sometimes that's better, is healthcare. They understand the grind. Healthcare workers, a lot of them work 12-hour shifts. They get it.
Yep. And the chaoticness, right? Yep.
It's chaotic. Their phones are ringing. You ever been in a doctor's office? The phone is just ringing.
Yeah.
That's what we need someone to be accustomed to. Yep. They also understand sort of the balance between serving families and the business side of things. So, which again, it's similar to us, where our people, specifically funeral directors, they don't even want to hear about the business side of things.
Yeah.
Because no, we're just here to serve families. Well, the reality is money has to come in for you to get a paycheck. So 100%. Those healthcare people, they sort of have to have that, balance and be able to, walk and chew gum at the same time and think about the family. And I do have to get paid today.
Yeah. And having talk or conversations, they're already accustomed to.
Yeah.
It's similar in a lot of respects in that way too, to healthcare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So healthcare, I mean, that background is really good. And I would say, for one way I was encouraged recently by some other people in our industry is it's just going to keep getting harder to find licensed people.
Correct.
And so where can we sort of stretch the non-licensed personnel? Mm-hmm. So what can our non-licensed people do, that we're having licensed people do?
Right.
So if you have this veteran funeral director that knows everything, is a great leader, but he's spending all his time inputting death certificate data, maybe you can hire an hourly person.
Yeah.
Instead of like hiring this high level leader that you're going to pay a bunch of money, maybe hire like an hourly person and stretch what they can do. And then you can free up that veteran, the leader, to go lead.
Smart.
That's, we're always just thinking about how we can do that. And we're still changing stuff and we're still figuring it out. It's hard.
Yeah, that's a very good insight. And I'm totally with you on that part, because my family specifically, up until honestly, it had to be 5 years ago, maybe seven, our funeral directors, including myself and my father and uncles, they would work all the visitations, every one.
Mm.
And I don't want people to take it the wrong way. Like, I think it's very important that we're present for our families as much as we can be. But when you have to be there at 7 a.m. and then you have to stay through a visitation and you're there till 9 o'clock at night and you're doing that multiple times a week, you are not going to bring your best self to the table, no matter who you are and how tough you think you are. You've been doing, you're in funeral service 25 years. Doesn't matter. You're like, that is going to add up and it's not going to be the best for you. So I did my apprenticeship elsewhere and they did something that was so revolutionary to me that, and now it's like, everyone does this. Like, come on, Michael. Yeah. They had staff that would work the visitations that were hourly staff, like you're talking about peers. And it was like, wait, I get to go home at a reasonable hour. I don't have to like stay and work this wait tonight. Are you serious? It just was very different experience for me and opened my eyes to seeing exactly what you're talking about is there are jobs that us funeral directors, we can outsource to other areas that we don't necessarily need to be doing. So we could focus on what we do best, helping families and going on services, being in the prep room, Like,
yep.
Those should be those focuses, unless you're at a super small funeral home that's in the country and you're not doing a lot of services. Like, I get that. It makes sense. Mm-hmm. But if you're doing a good amount of volume, maybe your staff and you should think about, hey, there are ways that we can save on our expenses. Someone that probably is going to do a better job because that's their sole focus. And then also increase the quality of life of our funeral directors. Maybe they won't get burned out. Maybe they'll stay with you. I can go on and on about that stuff, but yeah. It's a good point that you're saying, Pierce. I'm totally with you on that.
Yeah, it is a hard balance. And like you said, you have to give up something, right? Like, you can't be at the visitation, and that's hard. Like that is, there's trade-offs with everything.
Yeah.
But we do the best we can. And sometimes we just do something for 2 weeks and we're like, this is a terrible idea. Let's go back to the old way. But then sometimes things work and you're like, man, I can't believe we ever did it any other way. You know,
it's all about testing and trying and seeing what works best for your business. And that's what it's all about. Give us a little bit more about then the training that you do for your staff specifically, and what do they have to go through in order to be part of your cremation society, whatever you like to take yourself as.
Yeah. Training is, it's one of our weaknesses. I'll tell you, we're getting better at it. Like but we do, I do try to meet with all of our new employees and give them a picture of where we came from and why we do what we do. A lot of what we talked about today.
Yeah.
To give them sort of a picture that this is truly a family business. Mm-hmm. You have direct access to me and my dad and whoever else, you know.
Yeah.
So we do try to give them a picture of this is a family business. We believe in serving families. That is our main priority.
Yeah.
And then we sort of give them the business model. And I don't think a lot of funeral homes sort of explain their business model. I think that's important.
Yeah.
For them to see, this is how we make a living. This is how, this is how you get paid. This is not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a good thing. And, and look at all of our 5-star reviews from our families. They're not upset that they paid us. You know, the funeral mentality that it should be for free. It's like, no, these people are really finding a ton of value in what we're giving them. And so just giving them that on the front end before you get into, here's how to fill out a death certificate. Right. Here's the questions to ask the family. We try to start with welcome to this team. Yeah. Welcome to this company where our primary goal is to serve families so that they'll go and tell everyone how awesome we are.
Yeah.
And so starting there, again, it's Simon Sinek's, like, start with the why.
Yeah, the mentality.
That's that mentality of let's know why we come to work every day, and then we'll worry about how to fill out an invoice later. Yeah.
It gets you in the right frame of mind to be doing what you're doing and to serve the families the way that you want to serve them. And a lot of times we don't have those things in place where it's more like monkey see, monkey do. It's like, whatever I'm doing, that's the way, that's the standard. But everyone works differently. So if you can frame to them, anyone that you're hiring, is saying, this is why we do what we do, and this is the reasons for it. And if that's something that you're passionate about and you agree with, then we want you. We want you to be involved with it. And I want you to feel that and breathe that in all of your actions. And it gives people more of a sense of purpose too, rather than just being thrown in and saying, go, like, you have to be with 10 families and make 3 transfers today. Rather than that, let's focus on why you're here and what are you doing. The other part that you said about telling about the business model is so genius, and something I never really thought about until right now is a lot of funeral directors, like, when the phone rings and you're like, I'm telling you right now, I've been doing this a long time. I've seen a lot. There can be a lot of sour funeral directors, and I don't blame them, because this industry can run you ragged, and it's done its before. And when the phone rings, you're going to freaking run. You're going to hide in another room. You don't.
Yeah.
And if it's a first call and you have to go make a transfer and it's 4:30 and you're supposed to leave at 5, they're going to be pissed off. That happens all the time. But if you can explain to them, hey, this is how, like, you're getting paid. This is how you're making money. And the better that we serve our families and the more that we do, the more that we can pay you as well. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how you're going to get bonuses. You're going to get mm-hmm. raises. You're going to grow in our business. So that's a super different thing that I don't think very little funeral directors have that conversation when they're being hired.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it can be as simple as like, hey guys, we need to get this many calls this month.
Oh, yeah. So you put a number
just like, and then our people can kind of have this gauge of, oh man, you know, Pierce said we need to get to, you know, 30 this month. And we're only at 20, and they're going. So now it's kind of that same thing. Like, oh, we got a call instead of like, oh man, we got another one. It's like, yeah, let's go. We're almost there. You know,
you almost got them going down back alleys with a knife trying to get some calls. You got me juiced up.
Yeah. No. Again, it's like every other industry, they do this, right? Everyone knows that they have to make money this month. And so it's just sort of like getting that like taboo out of there. Do we corner our families and, you know, make them buy that upgraded urn? Like, no. And our people know that.
Yeah.
But we also want our people to know that, like, yeah, we need to get calls. You know, we need to work on prescribing better options to our families, kinds of things. We shouldn't be scared of doing that. You know, we should do it in a way that is, you know, mindful of the family and is prescribing. We use that word a lot.
Yeah.
That's not, you know, doing the whole upselling used car salesman stuff, mm-hmm. but that's respectful, that's dignified, but is also mindful that we are a business.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's super, super important. You hit it on the head. To close, I guess I'd like to talk a little bit more, finish off with a last shout out for the SSCFA, the Southern Conference. That's how Pierce and I got connected in the first place. And like we were talking about earlier, it's going to be a super fun thing. I'm trying to get as many people as possible to come on with me, enjoy the experience. Now you've got me all sort of grooving for the golf and funeral service. I'm ready to get there now.
Yeah.
So give us the last little pitch for why someone should come to the Southern. And then I can give, or you can give, the details about the dates. And I know the early bird registration is just opening up. So you can get a discounted rate too. And maybe talk to your boss, or if you are the boss, hey, maybe it's a little bit of a write-off here for your business to come to the Southern.
It's in Hilton Head. It's in the summer. We're at the beach. It's at the Westin Resort and Spa. If you've never been, this is the year to come, because I mean, it's at the beach. There's a lot of free time to spend with the family. I'm bringing my whole family. I know most people are bringing the whole family. So if you've never been before, this is the year to come experience it. We're going to like sell out the exhibitors for sure. It's a resort and spa. There's golf, there's the beach, there's pools, there's cabanas. It'd be a great year to be your first year to come. If you've been before, maybe you haven't been in a while. Same reasons to come. The speakers are really awesome. It's not all about play. We do work.
Yeah.
We do learn some stuff. So there's a whole lineup of amazing speakers. We're getting that agenda set up, but awesome people, Robbie Poppy, Misty Drew from Everstory, the GCA, or I'm sorry, the Southern's president, Tim Smith, is going to talk. Just some really awesome people where you can learn a lot, and then we do get parts of the day off where we can just go relax. And honestly, a lot of those times are times when you learn the most. Because you're connecting and you're hearing like, what are your goals for 2024? What worked last year?
Yeah.
You know, it's the stuff we talked about. How are you hiring funeral directors? Where are you finding salespeople? all this stuff is what happens at the pool and at dinner. And those are honestly sometimes the most valuable conversations. So it's going to be a great time. I would recommend anyone to join us.
Wow. It seems like you've been going through your own sales training with that pitch for me there.
I'm on the board. It's required. Yeah.
That's awesome. So anyone listen, if you're interested, go check out the Southern Conference. It's July 15th through 17th this upcoming summer. Like I said, the early registration is now open. So get on that. Otherwise, I hope you learned a lot from Pierce today, some good business insight and a cool, super amazing family that's really expanded from four generations worth of business and funeral service, and they're taking it to different levels. Something to admire and to appreciate the knowledge that you've shared with us.
Thanks, Michael. Had a great time with you. Looking forward to seeing you in July.
Yep, I'll see you there.
When it's warmer.